Gordon gets the rebound and throws it back down. Here's the pace the Nuggets want to play. Brown kicks it out. Murray, three-pointer. James on Murray. Right down inside. Jokic, quick spin off the glass. Here's Brown. Coast-to-coast layup.
Good job by Jokic defending, staying in front of him.
Green drives and finishes. Oh, impressive play from the veteran. Nice entry pass. Jokic lays it in. An easy bucket. Poor transition defense. Jokic gets it up. Backs it in. Jokic with the rebound. Ahead Murray all alone down the other end. Jokic gets into the paint, flips it up, shot's good, and one. Good finish. Denver pushes. Bruce Brown, corner, Caldwell Pope, three-pointer, got it. Jokic, inside pass, Brown, tough catch, and finish. Beautiful play from Brown. Gets the rebound, again leading the break. Jokic finds Gordon. Gordon adjusts and throws it down. Jokic guarded by Vanderbilt. Backs in, goes in, shoots over him, and scores. Jokic spinning, shooting. Scoring and the foul. Finds Porter. Porter launches from the left. Aaron hits it. Jokic floats it over to Gordon. Back to Porter. Porter finds his spot in the corner. Davis closes though. Shot clock at three. Gordon drives, goes inside. Bruce Brown for three. James guarding Jokic again. Murray finds the range that time. They're on their own floor. They've got work to do. Porter knocks down the three-pointer and it's tied. Murray leans in. Double clutching. Got it. What a tough shot from Murray. Murray fires away a three. It's good. Jamal Murray struggling all night, making some big buckets here in the fourth. Murray with Davis on. He's going to have to put it up. Step back. Three-pointer. It's good. Jamal Murray from way downtown. Brown for three. Bruce Brown from downtown. Shot clock winding down, puts up a three. Bang! Jamal Murray once again from downtown. Jokic looking. Porter gets it. Porter fires. Puts it in. Back-to-back threes. Jokic back to Murray. Another three-pointer. It's good. Jamal Murray red hot. Murray, two-point shot. That's good. 10 seconds remaining. James stripped and stolen by Brown. Brown on the front court. That'll do it. Brown will dribble it out. And the Denver Nuggets are 2 wins away from their first NBA Finals.
Let's kind of let that sink in a little bit there on Gel. 2 wins away from history for the Denver Nuggets. They win last night 108-103, thanks in large part to 23 points by Jamal Murray in the fourth quarter. This is what I'm saying about Jamal. Angel, I've been saying this for years now. You know, when this guy is on, when he is playing at an elite level like that, did he not look like one of the best players in the NBA in the fourth quarter? That's what he gives you. He gives you these flashes of just absurd greatness. And luckily, it came just in the nick of time. Nuggets were down 3 to start the fourth, and Jamal Murray took over. I thought Michael Porter Jr. hung in there and made some critical shots late. Of course, Nikola Jokic with his 13th triple-double in the playoffs. He had a brilliant game, too. It wasn't like 40-plus points or anything like that, but 23, 17 boards, 12 assists. There's a lot to unpack here. Nuggets take care of home court. Definitely feeling the same stuff we're feeling as far as the bias from the media.
You put that in your pipe, you smoke it.
I thought Michael Malone, you know, acknowledging it a little bit. How weird was that to see Lisa Salters interview him on the sidelines? Do you think that had to be kind of difficult? Because she just made a out of herself on national radio, TV, whatever, saying she didn't watch the MVP, your player, and she has to interview Michael Malone. Surely Michael Malone knew that, right? Do you think he knew that she got on the Rich Eisen show and said, to be honest, I've never watched the guy? You can see it, man. You can see it in his face, the way he's talking about this, that he is frustrated by the way this is being handled by the national media. I'm just going to say this, Angel. I feel like it's reckless, man. It's borderline dangerous when you're, again, just talking about media. The way ESPN has covered the Denver Nuggets and Nikola Jokic for the past several years, And these Western Conference Finals are no different. They are so ready to crown the Lakers, to move out, to get the Nuggets off of there. NBA memes on Twitter today just posted, Denver's high altitude gives them an unfair advantage at home. Then why haven't we won multiple championships? You ain't talking about it now, or back then, but now that the Nuggets might actually win the series, now we're pulling out everything, man. The field goals continue to move. Every time the Nuggets do this, oh, well, yeah, but they didn't have this, or they didn't do that, or it was because the Lakers didn't do this. And then you win game two, and oh, well, yeah, but it's altitude, and this thing's coming home. The Lakers' Twitter account, which they should be trash-talking, they shared, this time it's at our house, they tweeted the loss, the score, 108-103, and then they circled at, making sure that everyone knew the reason they lost was because it was in Denver. It's fine. They go back at it tomorrow night. Where do we want to start here? I thought there wasn't really a lot of adjustments in the fourth. It was just you had one of the players that you're expecting and hoping does his thing, and that's Jamal Murray. He gets in takeover mode. The Hachimura thing didn't really... I mean, he's a good player. He played well offensively, but he didn't really slow down Nikola Jokic that much. The foul calls were an issue in the first half, slowed down in the second half. We had a flop off at one point between LeBron James and Nikola Jokic. That was funny. I thought it was funny. LeBron James kind of ran out of gas down the stretch. He's 38 years old. Seems like that's something that could happen. Your thoughts on this one? First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. I mean, Jamal Murray... I tweeted this out, and I've said this, Angel, you know that. He is Superman. Most of the time, he's Clark Kent. He's a well-respected... What was Clark Kent? Was he a journalist? He's a well-respected journalist. He does his job well. Everybody likes him. Handsome fellow. But every once in a while, he has to go be Superman. That is Jamal Murray. I wish that I could say that he always had the suit on and that he was always Superman. Because that then my take would be right when he was drafted. Because I said when he was drafted, he has the makings of being better than a guy like Steph Curry. I want to be right about that. May still be right about that. I don't know. Someday. Start adding the championships to the mix. But it was a brilliant game by him to stay focused, to stay in the game. I loved what Malone had to say about Jamal, some of the quotes. You know, he's like, I was there in the dark days, man, when he with that ACL. And it was tough seeing him go through that. And we keep in mind, folks, I mean, we were talking this morning, I was on with the Good Morning NoCo crew. This is the reason we're seeing this team finally do what we have hoped they'd do for the last couple of years during the MVP years of Nikola Jokic is because he has his guys. Jamal Murray has been inconsistent, but he has been a huge factor in these playoffs. Michael Porter Jr. has been a pretty big factor in these playoffs. Bruce Brown. None of those guys Joker had. I say Bruce Brown maybe got the comeback rolling at times. That guy plays his heart out. 37 minutes off the bench, dude. Well, he had to play a lot because KCP gets in foul trouble early. Two quick fouls on him. Are the Nuggets going to sweep this thing? It feels kind of like it did in the Phoenix series where it's like, oh man, that wasn't a great game by the Nuggets last night. It was a great fourth quarter by Jamal, but it was a scary game. But you found a way to win. That's how game two was. Phoenix was a slugfest. Nobody was scoring. Denver scored 96 in that game or something like that. But you found a way to win. You go up 2-0 and you put all the pressure on Phoenix. Now Phoenix, we know, went on to win their two games at home. And then the Nuggets closed it out the next two after that. But now I get this sense that, man, that was the Lakers' best shot right there. Now, Anthony Davis is going to be better than that. He was 4 of 15 last night. He's going to be better. Stephen A. was saying at halftime this was over. That if the Lakers can be beating the Nuggets like this without Anthony Davis scoring, they're winning the series. They're chomping at the bit, Angel. They want to crown the Lakers so badly. It pains them, man. It pains them. It's almost like they're coached and told, do not talk about the Nuggets. Do not say positive thing about the Nuggets. If the Nuggets win or do anything successful, find an excuse, find a reason as to why that's going down.
As much as it pains them, it pains the fans even more.
Oh, the fans of the Lakers?
The fans of basketball. The people watching the game last night who turned off ESPN.
There was a lot of people doing that last night, huh?
I was one of them.
Did you mute it, or did you listen to the radio?
I muted it at the start of the second quarter.
It made you that upset?
Yeah.
Van Gundy was about to lose his mind.
It was, you know, the pregame stuff was the Lakers show. It was the 10-minute interview with Rui Hachimura before the game. It wasn't like the game was supposed to start at 6:30, and we got to 6:30, and it was like another 20 minutes
yep.
before game time.
Yep.
Yeah, and then, you know, Van Gundy and Jackson, they're not even trying to hide it. It's so obvious who they want to win. Disagreeing with every call that goes on the Nuggets, even when it's a flagrant call, even when the NBA official tells you it's a flagrant call, saying, oh, well, you're wrong. Like,
it takes,
as frustrating as it is just hearing them talk about the Lakers like that, it's frustrating as a fan of basketball because it takes away the game. You rely on commentators to paint the picture of a game. Whether you're listening to it, whether you're watching it, your mind is focused on the game, but your ears are hearing what the people are saying. And when you hear stuff like that every single time, it takes away that aspect of the game that you enjoy so much.
Yeah, people thought Phil Simms was bad back in the day. Phil Simms has got nothing on what we're seeing in these playoffs with ESPN's coverage. Absolutely. Because Phil was biased. He didn't like the Broncos, but it wasn't that obvious. This is pretty obvious. And if I'm the NBA, I'm not thrilled with Van Gundy last night. Was Van Gundy wrong on some of the things he was saying? No, it just wasn't consistent. But yes, some of the foul calls that were getting out there and all that stuff, it doesn't feel like basketball sometimes. It slows the game down.
He yells at the players for getting mad at the refs when there's been like five calls in the first 2 minutes.
Well,
y'all need to calm down. The refs need to put their foot down. Stop calling ticky-tack fouls.
Well, then he's like, nobody is called. Everyone's complaining in this game. Yeah, it's how the NBA
they complain because the fouls themselves aren't serious enough, so the refs can see the players complain, say, hey, that's a warning. If you yell at me again, you're going to get a tech, and it's going to be justified because you yelled at me in the first quarter.
Smitty texting in, when the Lakers lose, it's how did the Lakers lose? If LA wins, it will be how the Lakers won. That's what ESPN's headline was this one slipped away, and it showed LeBron James miss dunk, which was glorious, by the way. Never seen anything like that from LeBron James in all of my years of watching him. But you're right that you're not talking about the fact that, you know, Nikola Jokic played pretty good defense, didn't he? I mean, it was pretty good. Aaron Gordon looked lost.
No, AD just missed shots.
Yeah. Aaron Gordon looked lost. Our prediction there didn't come to fruition there, Angel. He looked a little lost in how to insert himself into that game because of what they did try to do with Anthony Davis and Rui Hachimura. They did confuse Aaron Gordon. Luckily, Aaron Gordon is not the focal point of your team. He's the fourth guy. Maybe even the fifth, depending on KCP. And KCP, how about that? Gets the two early foul calls, and he makes some key shots late. And I thought he did a great job of pumping this team up on the bench. It was a glorious night, man. It's one of the most rewarding wins as a fan I've seen of any sport that we follow and cover here. Because it's so one-sided when you see a win like that. It's just like, there it is. It's in front of the world to see. You go up 2-0.
Not just showing out to the world, and, you know, you're going to hear the narrative about the Nuggets are complaining about attention, they're complaining about the media coverage. We have every right to. But it's showing that this team is built for a championship. Whether it's the bodies that are actually on the floor, whether it's the coach, whether it's the GM that's done all of this in a year.
Yeah, Bruce Brown, again, that might be one of the biggest moves in the Nuggets history. Seriously, it might be one of the biggest moves as far as offseason pickups in the Nuggets history.
The Nuggets have stuck to their guns on building a roster. When this all started back when they first got Malone in, like, what, 2017?
Oh, it was 16? Like 2015. Yeah,
okay.
He's been there a while now.
But it started then. It started when you drafted Jamal. It started when you got MPJ and Jokic. You didn't know what it was going to look like at the end. and this is not the end, by it's the beginning. But this team is built to win a championship, and it's a game like that that shows you that we can win blowing out. And we got a little loose at the end of game one, but we went out, had a little slow start, battled back and forth. This was an absolute war in game two, and the Nuggets come out victorious.
It's a lot
with
like
a commanding 2-0 lead.
A lot like game two of Phoenix, a lot like game two of Minnesota, just ugly basketball.
I'd say the only difference with the Phoenix one, the Nuggets didn't blow out the Lakers in game one.
Yeah, they
were Lakers riding high after
back.
Game
yeah,
one.
Yeah, you felt like the Lakers were going to take that momentum. That was the concern, is that the Lakers would take that momentum and find a way to win game two. And it sure felt like at times it might happen. L.A. got up by 10, I think. Was that the highest they got up in the third? So many key moments, though. The Nuggets just kept firing, kept coming back. Joker with a key and one to cut that thing down to like 5 at one point. You were firing back on the three-point line. The goaltending at the end of the third quarter was huge. And it was goaltending. The ball's going down. I don't have to be a scientist to know that. Van Gundy was blowing his mind. I can't remember if he thought it was or not. You didn't hear it, so.
I did not.
Texter, not much mention of what the Nuggets are doing to cause L.A. to have an off night.
Because they don't know what to say about the Nuggets because they haven't watched. They don't know how to analyze a team without just guessing.
The Nuggets were disruptors. That's what we saw when they slowed down Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. They know certain guys are going to get their shots, but they are disruptors. D'Angelo Russell makes a shot, points to Bruce Brown.
Please do it again.
You had 10 points, bro.
Please just poke Bruce Brown more.
Yeah, piss Bruce Brown off. That is not the plan. I let your tweet, the Boston thing's coming out in Bruce Brown.
He's got that attitude, man.
Well, Van Gundy's going off. I didn't like that Bruce Brown came out and said that. Why? All he said was, we're going to take advantage of his bad defense, and he sure tries hard out there. Van Gundy didn't like that. The things that we're focusing on, Bruce Brown didn't say anything that bad. He just said, yeah, that's our focus. That's what it is. They're going to take advantage of a bad defensive player out there. Started Vanderbilt last night. Number 567 starting lineup changes for the Lakers. That didn't do anything.
Well, it's because they're so deep, Brady.
Yeah.
They've got the best depth in the NBA.
Did you see Darvin Ham like run into, was it KCP at the end of the game? Nuggets are dribbling it out to end the game, and Darvin Ham's like out on the floor, almost runs into.
He wants to be a part of it.
Whoever was dribbling it out. No, Darvin Ham said after game one, oh yeah, trust me, we'll be fine. Do the Nuggets sweep?
I don't think so.
Do they win tomorrow night? Is tomorrow night the game they lose?
Tomorrow night's going to be a very interesting game. I think they can win it. But I think if you win game three, the series is over in five. Possibly even fourth, you just completely take the heart from the Lakers. But they're undefeated at home in the playoffs as well. So you're going to have to go into it. And I like your point you mentioned this morning. The Nuggets wanted a game in Phoenix. I know they won game five.
Lay awake
games
thinking about
three
that.
And four still sit with this team.
Mm-hmm. They thought they could end the series in Phoenix. They truly believed they could sweep the Suns. And they were damn disappointed that they didn't. So I think that that's going to carry them tomorrow night. I think they win tomorrow night. I really do. I think they go up 3-0. I'm not prepared mentally to talk about a real sweep. I just don't know that that happens. I think maybe LA gets a game four. But I think Denver goes up tomorrow, and we all know what happens when you go up 3-0.
You go up 2-0 at this point. It's like 260-something to 80-something.
Yeah. Denver's a better team. And they didn't play very good. They didn't play very well last night, and they won the game. Dixon, did Aaron Gordon play last night? Missed it. I'll give you this. I was way off on Aaron Gordon. He looked lost out there. He has to figure out his role if that is how the Lakers are going to play.
Maybe it was just me because I had it muted, but I didn't get that sense.
Yeah, he looked lost. He didn't know where he was supposed to be. This was my concern yesterday. I was like, you can't clog the lane, but you also can't be too far out because you're not a shooter. I was disappointed in that, but I'm not. Again, I thought Tanner pointed out something really cool that I didn't think about was Gordon not fouling LeBron late when LeBron drove to the lane and got a quick two, and I think it cut it back to 4 or 5. But you know, LeBron was looking for an and-one opportunity, and Gordon played that, kind of let him go in, but he was smart about it.
Are you confident that that'll be an adjustment for Gordon?
I think he adjusts. I've just seen this team. They're too good. They're so good. They will figure this out. I've seen guys on this roster that they don't have a good night, and then they adjust and they figure it out the next night. That's why they're the number one seed in the West because of that. Jamal disappears, and he comes back the next night. Michael Porter Jr. is a non-factor, comes back the next night. Who we got? Lonster? What's up, Lonnie?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, man.
You know what? After that game last night, I feel a little better today.
I feel really good. I'm riding high off of this, man.
I mean,
it's a fantastic time. I want Denver, like the state, to get into some Nuggets mania here. I want it to go crazy.
I'll tell you what, I'd like to see the whole state just go completely bunkers on this one.
I would too, man. Okay, so what's on your mind? Takeaways from the game.
You know what? The takeaways, when they just came out in that fourth quarter and just start waking up, start playing basketball a little bit, that first three quarters were just like, you guys want to get something going here?
Yeah, and they weren't. It wasn't a good first half. And, you know, if that would have been a better team than the Lakers, then maybe the Nuggets lose that game. But again, I just think the Nuggets, pound for pound, position by position, are a much better team than the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. No, I thought the first quarter looked good, and then the rest of the quarters, it's like, you guys, come on, let's get it going here a little bit.
Jamal Murray, 37 points.
Yep.
He just kept firing. Michael Porter Jr. ended up with 16. He kept firing. You love to see shooters shoot.
Yep, you really do. And I'll tell you what, I listened to the whole thing on radio. I will not listen to ESPN.
Yeah, their broadcast was rough. I was getting irritated.
Yeah.
It's pretty biased. I mean, it's an obvious bias, and it's frustrating. I've never heard anything so biased against one team.
Well, you know what? You got to admit, ESPN, that's that East Coast attitude that they have.
Well, East Coast, West Coast stuff, they like those teams, and that's mm-hmm. they sit down at the beginning of the season and they figure out the teams they need to cover and what's going to draw the most ratings. And I get it from a business standpoint. I do. But the problem is the Nuggets are in the Western Conference Finals. Do your damn homework. I don't care. Don't admit that you haven't watched Joker. Go back and watch. Just go back and study him for the last two seasons.
Yeah, that's what kind of freaks me out. It's like, Lisa,
oh yeah,
take time out and check this out. I know you're busy doing something else, but at least take a few minutes, just watch him, what he does, and just say, hey, I've seen this guy. I like what he does.
It's her job, you know? Like, she covers the NBA, and then she said, well, I didn't cover him, and I covered him a bit in the bubble. Of course you covered him in the bubble. They were in the Western Conference Finals in the bubble, too.
Hey, you didn't have nothing to do in that bubble.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Maybe
here.
Study up on the eventual two-time MVP. Lonster, what's for lunch today?
Hey, you know what? We're going to go get some Chinese food here pretty soon.
All right, man. Where are you going?
There's a place here in Loveland called Mr. Chin.
Okay.
It's up by the Safeway in that area, the West Safeway store.
What are you getting?
I'm going to get some rice and some shrimp and some sweet and sour soup, the whole nine yards.
Sounds like a good day, man. Well, enjoy, my friend.
It's going to be a good day and then a good victory tomorrow night.
I like it. Lonster, appreciate it, man.
Hey, for sure.
First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Your thoughts on the game. Here's my tight-knit Brewing poll question. I just thought of it when we were sitting talking to Tanner. He brought it up. You know, who's the best coach in Nuggets franchise history? That's our poll question. I'll give you a hint. You're seeing him right now. Michael Malone. It's the best they've ever done. They've been to two Western Conference Finals with him. Before that, what did Larry? Who brought them all to their Western Conference Finals, Angel? Maybe we can find that. Because I know George Karl did. Doug Moe did. How many have they been to? Have they been to five? Because I thought there was one more before the Lakers. Because I was always saying four, counting this one. But I believe there's one more. 29 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. It's a Victory Friday. We're talking about the Nuggets going up 2-0 over the Los Angeles Lakers. More on that coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
Rodeo Radio is back during the Greeley Stampede. Only in Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I put this out on Facebook last night. I gotta admit, Angel, it's a little emotional for me. My dad and my brother, two of the reasons I got into sports in the first place, the reasons I got into sports media. I mean, it's no secret I was inspired by Mr. Dave Logan on the radio side, but I was a diehard Nuggets fan. And, you know, I found that I was doing a lot of defending that team growing up. So I talked about them a lot. They were bad, and I was always trying to find reasons why they might be good. And it was hard to find. Antonio McDice was my guy, was my go-to. But I was thinking about it last night. My dad and brother and I, and, you know, sisters would go sometimes, but it was always typically us going to games. And, dude, I remember going to McNichols Arena. And they'd be playing the Bulls, they'd be playing the Pacers, whatever, historically good teams. And the kiosks were full of Bulls gear, of Celtics gear, Spurs gear. I mean, it was just, you could find some Nuggets things, but typically it was full of the other team's stuff. And I remember, you know, there wasn't many people there. We could move around throughout the game. And it just, it's really fun to see this team. This is tied for the furthest they've ever gone. I mean, take the ABA out of it. They've won two games. They won two with Larry Brown's crew back when they went to the, I think it was their second year in the NBA. They went to the conference finals. Keep in mind, I don't know how much you want to count that because it was two rounds that year. You just had two rounds, then the finals. You know, not as much of a battle. But that was, you know, they were successful there. But then after, you know, you had your great time in the 80s, early 90s. And then after that, it was, whew, it was a rough go until Carmelo Anthony came to town. But I just recall all of these, you know, you go to a Nuggets game and it's just like, ah, they were probably going to lose. But we're here watching basketball. It's fun. You have this all-time great team. Angel, they're one win away from going further than they've ever gone before. And that's to have three wins in the conference finals, one win away. And then obviously, they've never been to a championship in the NBA. They went in the ABA, and that was under Larry Brown. So my tight-knit brewing poll question of the day, who's the greatest coach of all time for the Nuggets? And it's Michael Malone. I mean, I don't have his record up in front of me, but I'm just looking at the playoffs. George Karl, he was my guy. I love George Karl.
Malone is 367 and 270. Winning percentage of .576.
What was Karl? Karl's like the sixth winningest coach all time.
Karl was 423 and 257. Winning percentage 622.
But the thing is George couldn't...
That was in 40 more games so far.
Yeah, and George couldn't get past the first round. He got past the first round once. And they were, a lot of times they were higher seeds. They weren't a one seed, but they were higher seeds. They just couldn't do it. So it's Michael Malone. Doug Moe, obviously, he's on the... You can vote for what I put up there. George Karl, Michael Malone, Doug Moe, or Larry Brown. Larry Brown only coached this team for 3 years. So it's not Larry Brown. Doug Moe, I mean, if you want to look at it, Doug Moe, still one of the greats for this... He started in like 81 or something. They were in the playoffs pretty much his whole time there. And they let him go after they lost to the Spurs in 89, or was it 90? Did Doug Moe miss the playoffs? I don't think he missed the playoffs. So, I mean, a case can be made that Doug Moe should be over George Karl. I mean, his first year they lost, that was another Lakers conference final. They lost 4-1. They made it to the semifinals the following year. They lost in the first round the next year to the Lakers. They made it to the semifinals and lost to the Mavericks with him. He was great. He had some all-time great Nuggets on those rosters, too.
He coached 61 playoff games. George Karl's at 58 or 59. Malone's at 48.
I think it goes Malone, Moe, and George Karl, to be fair.
What was your feeling when they showed George Karl on the game last night?
Part of the emotion thing for me, because I'm a diehard George Karl guy. It actually pains me to say Doug Moe is above George Karl, but it is what it is. But I was a big fan of his. Read his book, Furious George. If you ever want to borrow it, you can, Angel. Tanner's not allowed. He will steal it.
He tweeted late last night just a picture of him watching the game. Thanks to everyone who shared this pic with me. Special night being back in the old Pepsi Center. I loved Jokic for a while and have come to love this Nuggets team. Nothing would make me happier than seeing them win the whole damn thing. Call me a homer.
He's still a diehard fan of the Nuggets. I mean, pay the man some respect. He definitely deserves it. The Nuggets have had some pretty good coaches. The Nuggets have had kind of a unique history. They haven't had a great history, but they've had a pretty good history.
I don't think you can write that history without George Karl.
No way. Zero. And in what he did after they traded Carmelo Anthony might be the reason you do move him up over Doug Moe.
The Melo trade is still paying dividends. It paid huge dividends last night.
Jamal Murray, part of that. But for George to have a playoff team with Danilo Gallinari, Ty Lawson, Kenneth Faried, Wilson Chandler, Andre Miller for a little two stints. He loved Andre. That was probably his downfall. I played him way too much. I loved Andre Miller. One of my favorite Nuggets. But yeah, I'll get, you know, Tanner's making the argument that it's George Karl is the best of all time. I get that because of what he did with the trade, but the bottom line is you didn't do much. You were still able to succeed and go to the playoffs and be a relevant basketball team, relevant to us anyway, with Danilo Gallinari. And Will, like, those guys, once they left the Nuggets, they didn't do anything.
He hit his ceiling with this team. Yeah. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just, in order, this team's history and their progression throughout time, I guess that's history.
It is.
You kind of needed Karl to be gone. You needed something different. You needed to change the way you were doing things. You needed to change your culture. Obviously, it took some time from Karl to Malone, but it was about that process. It was about the Nuggets organization at that time that made them realize we need to change things up and be where we're at now.
I was so devastated when I heard the news that they were moving on from George Karl. I was devastated. But it worked out. You were trying to find a guy that could coach in the playoffs, a guy that could come up with the proper adjustments in the playoffs. The Nuggets were a run-and-gun team. They run a lot now. They were, but that team was truly run. Once they lost Melo, it was, we got to get out and run. Kenneth Faried, those guys were built for that. Couldn't sustain that in the playoffs.
We talk about playoff mentality and what do you bring to the playoffs? And we know Malone is a defensive guy, and you talk about how good they are in transition. That's because of their defense. When they play good defense, they get good transition offense, and when this team is at its peak, when it's doing that. So that's Malone's philosophy, is defense into offense.
He was pushing it hard. He lost his voice again. He's coached his ass off. He is coached tremendous basketball. You know, Tanner made the joke, dude, you could coach Nikola Jokic. When people say that coaching doesn't matter in the NBA, it certainly. Look what happened in Brooklyn. You put all these superstars on a team, it should be easy, right? You got James Harden, Kevin Durant,
you have Steve Nash,
Kyrie Irving.
Coach.
You can't. It's hard. You're managing personalities. You're trying to get them to buy in. Go read Furious George and tell me coaching the NBA is easy. That guy dealt with some ridiculous personality. Night and day difference compared to what Malone's dealing with, and he also was a part of creating that culture.
The culture feeds off of Malone. He is not an ego type of guy. Yeah, he's going to, you know, throw some shade at people. He's going to snap at you a little bit in the media like he did last night. But because he doesn't do it without, you know, warrant. He's not like, I am the best coach. He says, we're a good team. I'm a good coach, but we got to keep working. He's never satisfied.
No, and you can see it and you can feel it. 43 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFK. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
A lot of our guys, to be honest, they may not admit this or not. You know, you win game one of the playoffs, and all everybody talked about was the Lakers. Let's be honest. That was a national narrative was, hey, the Lakers are fine. They're down 1-0, but they figured something out. No one talked about Nikola just had a historic performance. He's got 13 triple-doubles now, third all-time. What he's doing is just incredible, but the narrative wasn't about the Nuggets. The narrative wasn't about Nikola. The narrative is about the Lakers and their adjustments. So, you know, you put that in your pipe, you smoke it, and you come back, and you know what? We're going to go up 2-0.
Here's Michael Malone. You can hear it in his voice. A lot of times they don't call this stuff out. They don't mention it. But, dude, it's so bad that I'm glad he did it. Because it's awful.
it's bad when the network that covers the Nuggets 24/7 has their own people saying on Twitter, "Hey, go to this," because we're hearing that it's bad.
Katie Wingy's tweet.
Yeah, Katie Wingy like told y'all, "Hey, go listen to it on the NBA."
Which was actually genius by her, because she's seeing all the complaining on Twitter and she's like, "I see a lot of you guys are frustrated with this call. Go listen to it on radio." The power of radio, ladies and gentlemen. You can still watch it all, but listen. You listen to the local guys too, and there's some homerism, but I'd much rather.
But they're the local guys.
Yeah, I'd much rather.
If I'm going
to eat,
if I listen to a Lakers broadcast, I'd expect it to be what Gundy was doing and Mark Jackson. This was ESPN. This is national. This is neutral, impartial journalism, what it's supposed to be. You didn't do that last night.
No.
You didn't do that by continuing to put Mark Jackson and Lisa Salters on this crew.
Both were on the crew last night. Mark Jackson left Joker off his MVP ballot. Whatever happened.
So we find out with the Mark Jackson thing. Game one, he's the first one to speak.
Yep.
Game two, Lisa's the first one to speak. Who's next? Who wants to speak up now?
Like, Lisa's job is to cover the NBA. And I said this yesterday. Tell me you don't watch Aaron Gordon. All right. Tell me you don't watch Michael Porter Jr. Okay. Jamal. Shocker, but okay. But you're going to tell me you didn't watch the MVP. Who was the NFL MVP for the last 2 years?
Well, it was Mahomes and then Rodgers for 2 years.
And they both won titles, and I get that. But again, it's somewhat equivalent. It's somewhat equivalent.
I would say Rodgers is equivalent.
Yeah, to be honest, Rodgers still got it. I haven't watched him play football since the Super Bowl.
Have you seen this guy in Green Bay?
Yeah, imagine that. Imagine if Adam Schefter got on and said, Buffalo's got this quarterback named Josh Allen. And I got to admit, guys, I've never seen him play.
Never even heard of this guy.
But he's pretty good. I haven't covered any Bills games, but apparently this guy is good. We would roast Adam Schefter. He would lose credibility in the NFL. But in the NBA, on ESPN, and Schefter's with ESPN too, but it's just different. The NBA, they don't... Like, I'm seriously having a discussion with Lisa Salters as an exec, and maybe they did, but it's like you cannot come out and say that you don't watch the MVP. You can't say that.
And it's the fact that there are less teams, less players, and less coaches to actually follow.
There are 10 teams
you don't need to pay attention to.
Yeah, the playoff teams are the ones you need to pay attention to, and even then.
As the playoffs go on, it gets narrower and narrower, and your focus is on... It should be only on four teams right now.
And to say you didn't watch... I didn't watch them. I think I covered them in the bubble. You mean the team that played the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals? That team, you think you covered them? They were 1-4. Of course you covered them.
When there's probably an intern out there somewhere that their first opportunity was the Jokic bubble game, and they're thinking, oh man, this was really cool. And now they're looking back saying, whoa, I watched this guy before he exploded. People are saying Jokic has arrived. He's been here.
He won two MVPs. Say it 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I'll give it to you. Well, I'll give him this. He's arriving as a deep playoff player because we haven't seen it. But
he is destroying the playoff narrative.
He hasn't had the horses to run alongside him.
Horses.
He hasn't. He didn't have Bruce Brown. He didn't have Jamal Murray. He didn't have Michael Porter Jr. He didn't have Aaron Gordon in the bubble. He didn't have KCP. Calvin Booth said, okay, Tim Conley, you did a great job. But you got to build different players around this guy. Hats off to... I love Calvin Booth. I got a man crush on Calvin Booth. We're going to try to get him on at some point.
Even Calvin Booth is telling fans to stop watching ESPN.
Yeah. Is that the real Calvin Booth, or is that the parody account?
I think that was his actual account.
There's a funny parody account out there. We got to take a break. The UNC Bears have completed their roster on the basketball side of things. What does it mean? We'll talk a little bit about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
We're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. Hear Coach Speak weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show. Certainly going to do a lot of Game 2 reaction and aftermath. I want to get your thoughts on this one. First Advantage text line 888-530 0043. But talking a lot of basketball today, the UNC Bears have completed their mission on gel. They finished up the last spot they had to add to the roster. Marcel McCreary out of Air Force. That's an interesting one, huh?
Yeah, freshman guard. UNC hosted Air Force last season, so Smiley obviously has got a look at this guy. Good size for his position. Shoot the ball really well. But yeah, Coach Smiley has completed seven now transfers coming to UNC. Marcel McCreary, you got there. Roddick Homer, Egan Shields, the big 6'10 guy. Mm-hmm. DeJore Reeves out of, I believe, Colorado, or he's from Trinidad State. St. Thomas, great name. Makai Cameron, he's a JUCO guy. And then Jaron Riley.
Is it Riley?
I think so.
Okay. But is anybody going to be... Is it all going to be a brand new starting lineup? Is anybody left from the starters last year?
Because starters...
Dalen's gone, Dalton's gone, Matt's gone, Riley Abercrombie's gone.
Theo Hughes should still be there.
Still there.
Langston Reynolds, he'll be a sophomore. Juju Ramirez as well, he'll be a sophomore, but... Seven new guys on this team.
Brand new look. Brand new look for the UNC Bears.
This is the transfer portal world.
What does it mean? Are they good? You don't know until you get into it. On paper, they look like they were good where they were, but how does that transition into the Big Sky Conference? But you got your roster filled. Good job, Steve Smiley. 11:57 the time. Lunch Rush coming up next.